Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
The fastest 3 hours on Internet Talk Radio is right here, powered by Zinc Media Arts. I am your lovable host, Elrod, coming to you live from somewhere within the great granite state of New Hampshire, where the state motto is live free or die. It is not big government or bust. Welcome to this third hour of the Monday edition, September number 10 in the year of our Lord 2018. Of course, the call-in numbers are Skype to Skype, Rod Eccles. Or dial 603-499-7325. That's 603-499-7325. That is a dial-in number. Yes, they are active and they are working. At least as far as I know, it's a toll-free number for most calling plans across this continent. Yeah, you can call from Canada, too. Now, I don't know much about Canadian politics, so don't ask me a lot of questions about what's happening up in Canada. And I don't know hardly anything about what's going on unless it affects us, what's happening in Mexican politics. But hey, if you want to call from Mexico or Canada, you can do that. It's toll-free number 603-499-7325. If it has to do with trade, I know stuff about that. But if it has to do with what's going on inside each country, down to the provincial or local municipal stuff, I don't know anything about Canada. Or, well, it's hard enough to keep track of what's going on in 50 states and a territory, let alone getting involved in some other country. You ever try to keep track of what the hell's going on in all 50 states? It's not possible. It's not to get really deep involved into the nuances of every state. And which is why, this Wednesday is the second half of the interview that we had with Agent 0010 had with Source D on Puerto Rico. Now, folks, it's important that you get the second half of this conversation, this interview, because there's some more stuff that's going to be dropped on you, and you might think, well, what's it got to do? You know, well, I don't live in Port. The whole point is that this is a Democrat-run island, and they're running it like a bunch of criminals, like they're the mafia. And this is the same across this country when it comes to the Democrat Party. Now, I'm not saying we don't have, Republican criminals. We do. There are. But nothing like in the amount of what is going on in the Democrat side. And if you allow them to take power in Washington again via the House or the Senate or both and or the White House, you're going to get Obama all over again. I'm just telling you. So you need to understand how all of this works. And one of the best places to figure out and find out how all this works is what's going on in Puerto Rico. Now, if you're thinking it has, Puerto Rico has nothing. Remember the Keystone Pipeline that Obama and Hillary Clinton hemmed and hawed and hampered and stopped? Well, folks, that's what they tried to do with a lot of these so-called infrastructure projects. When we were trying to become more self-sufficient and decentralized, the Democrats stood in the way. Now, if you don't think what happened in Puerto Rico couldn't happen on a nationwide scale, you better think again. Because it can. And we're headed that way, by the way. You know, we've got some very old power plants in this country. Might I remind people of nuclear plants? You know, we've got a plant here in New England. I think it's called, it's already past its, it was supposed to have been decommissioned, I do believe, in 99. Well, it's 2018, and it's still going strong. Just saying. So, you know, it's, you know, nearly 20 years past its supposed usefulness. It's a disaster waiting to happen, and this is starting to this is coming to pass with nuclear plants all over this country because we haven't built any new ones. We haven't really replaced their capacity. So again, if you think that Puerto Rico cannot happen in New Hampshire, or it can't happen in New York or California, you better think again. So it's important to tune in this Wednesday for the second half of that conversation. It's, folks, it's eye-opening. I don't care where you are. It's relevant everywhere. And it's simply because we have this notion that we have to have these big centralized power generating and power sources, and it should only be in the hands of a few people or a few companies, much like the pipeline. Oh, you know, we've already got a system of getting oil down to Texas. Well, yeah, it's on Warren Buffett's cargo trains. You know what that pipeline is going to do? The left was all against this, but you know what that pipeline is going to do? It is going to reduce the number of trains that go from north to south. What does that mean? Oh, that means a lot less diesel electric trains, engines are going to be running back and forth, which is going to do what? Reduce so-called greenhouse gas emissions. So in other words, a pipeline is much environmentally sound, more environmentally sound and environmentally cleaner than engines, train engines. But hey, let's block the pipeline because, you know, we're so afraid of maybe a little bit of a spill here or a little bit of a spill there. Let's keep the pipeline running north to south constricted to just a few methods. Don't add another method. Don't decentralize anything. No. Let's keep it all massively combined into one. So, hey, even if you know, weather doesn't take anything out, let's let a terrorist take out a few tracks so we can't get the oil north to south. You know, how do you terror-proof your country by decentralizing. But instead, what we got is you could open a coal plant, but we're going to bankrupt you because we want big gas plants because it's cleaner. We want big, we can't build solar plants because, you know, environmentalists say no. We can't build wind farms because environmentalists say no. We can build a gas farm, natural gas. Yeah, we'll do that. Just have these big natural gas plants all over the place and string wires everywhere. So every time, you know, a tornado or a hurricane or a big thunderstorm or snowstorm or ice storm comes in, it just knocks all the lines down and people are without power for days. And if you live in some remote place, kind of like Puerto Rico, it could be months. Instead of having decentralized, smaller, cleaner power plants dotted throughout the land, they just continue wanting us to have these big, gigantic, because you can put them out in the middle of nowhere where nobody sees them, right? Because power plants are ugly. I bet you there are some smaller plants, power producing plants, electric producing plants around the country. Not enough, nearly enough of them, but there's some smaller ones. You probably don't even know that it's a power generating plant because they don't look like what you're used to them looking like. So this whole notion that they're big, ugly buildings with big, tall smokestacks that spew out, you know, gray and black smoke, that's history, folks. That's not the way power plants are today. And believe it or not, by decentralizing, they're actually going to be more efficient. Because you know how much, you're going to have to look it up. The amount of power that goes across these lines for miles, hundreds of miles, you would be surprised at how much electricity is actually lost before it even gets to the first customer. Just gone, you know, resistance, evaporate. Yeah, believe it or not, evaporation. Well, that's the best way to explain it. Yeah, the electrical lines leak. And electricity just basically, for the best way to explain it, evaporates on the lines. Then, of course, you've got the wire resistance, which causes heat. So you get some electricity that's lost through heat. It's not a very efficient method. So if you bring a power plant closer to the customer, well, there's a lot less evaporation and transmission line leakage and loss. Not to mention, so the plant doesn't have to be as big as these giant things anyway to provide the same amount of power. Imagine that. Something smaller, more efficient, can supply the same amount of power as these big, you know, far-off plants. So it's when you actually know the facts, it wakes you up. So knowing more about what's happening in Puerto Rico actually opened your eyes to what's actually going on across the country. I hate to say it, folks, but we're in a bigger mess than we know and realize. And I think that was the shocker for Trump when he took office. When he sat down in the Oval Office for the first time as the President of the United States, I think he found out and realized it was a bigger mess than he knew. Which is another reason why it's been so, this turnaround has been so amazing. Man is just tireless. He doesn't look at being president as being something that's fun. You know, I'm president. Yeah, I get to go around and play golf and play basketball, do all those other wonderful things as president because it's cool. Trump doesn't look at being president as cool. He looks at it as being the most important CEO job in the world. Because that's exactly what it is. Speaking of which, the National Interest, nationalinterest.org, has a piece, Why Trump's Record Trumps the Media's Spin. The media is determined, our lamestream media is determined to prove that Donald Trump is unfit to be president. However, his record thus far proves that he's probably the most efficient and effective president in the last half century. I'd probably say it's probably going even further than that, but okay, let's take the last half century. The mainstream media tried to do the same thing to Ronald Reagan. Those of you who are around back then and were old enough to remember, you remember how they tried to, oh yeah, Ronald Reagan, you know, he's got dementia or Alzheimer's and all he does is take naps every afternoon. He doesn't know what the hell's going on. Nancy Reagan's actually running the White House. Remember all that kind of stuff? They tried to say all that stuff. And as it turned out, listening to all the people who worked for Reagan, none of that, what the media tried to portray him as, was true. Reagan would come down to the office early, before anybody, fully dressed, every day, including Sundays. And then we get the stories of, oh yeah, Obama, you know, he rolls into the Oval Office sometimes around 10, sometimes 11. And sometimes he's not, you know, dressed as the president, suit and tie. And most Sundays, unless it was a national emergency or something, you never see him in the Oval Office. This is what we got coming out of the Obama White House versus what came out of the Reagan White House. Now, evidently, Trump's the same way. And people complain, well, Trump's out playing golf at his golf courses all the time. Look, he gets the job done. Maybe you can argue that he golfs more than Obama did, but he also gets a hell of a lot more work done than Obama did. And this is what the media is trying to cover up or trying to spin away. So we have all this stuff about Donald Trump, you know, the spin. They won't tell you the good stuff, or they try to downplay it, or it's a story for a half hour and then it disappears. You know, jobs numbers. I mean, remember when the unemployment numbers started to go down under Obama? That we every time the report came out, you know, unemployment numbers dropped. We heard about that same story for an entire week until the next numbers came out. You hear about jobless claims and unemployment rates dropping under Trump, and it's barely a news story for a half hour. They don't want you to know. Who's they? Well, the lamestream media. It is a giant cabal. I think I've already proven that numerous times on this program. It's a giant anti-freedom, anti-constitution, special interest cabal. That's all it is. It's what it's turned out. That's what the lamestream media has turned into. And again, it's a bunch of overpaid people. And they talk about wealthy people and not paying their fair share and making too much money. And anybody see what some of these what these anchors earn? I mean, they're getting paid like movie stars. Millions of dollars a year. For the news. And you get newspaper, you get news, so-called journalists, newspaper writers and editors, you know, six figures easily per year. And they don't sell, you know, the equivalent of books. They don't sell all that much. You get authors that sell more print material than some of these newspaper editors do. And make half of what these newspaper editors make. Yeah, well, they're fiction, Rod. Well, it doesn't matter. It's still the printed word. So who's overpaid? You know, personally, I get a little tired of turning on the news and seeing a multimillionaire sitting there in a $6,000 suit trying to tell me what I should be thinking. Oh, the president, he doesn't know what normal Americans go through on a daily basis. Neither do you. I don't know personally many people that run around in a $1,200 Italian custom-made suit. And don't think that the female anchors are out there, you know, buying stuff off the rack at Walmart. You know, they have personal shoppers that run around to places like Macy's and Saks Fifth Avenue. Or if they do their own shopping, they have a private shopping tour. You know, those stores that the doors are always locked? If you don't have an appointment, you don't get in. Yeah, that's the way normal Americans, average everyday citizens, that's the way they live their lives. They live their lives by having to make appointments just to go buy a dress, or they make an appointment just to go have a suit made. Yeah, because we all have a custom-made suit, right? Yeah, the closest thing that most of us come to a custom-made suit is we go buy it off the rack at, say, Men's Warehouse, and we have the tailor bring in the waist a little bit. They alter it. That's the closest thing that most of us are ever going to come to a custom-made suit. And you definitely sure as hell aren't buying a shirt, a $500 shirt. Unbelievable. Or a $100 tie. Or a $200 scarf for the ladies. I'm still trying to figure out how the hell a tie or a scarf, with hardly any fabric is used, how the hell does it cost that much? But these, and this is what these people are wearing, on TV, in front of the camera, telling us what normal, every average, everyday American should be thinking and feeling. You should hate this president because, you know, he's terrible for the normal American. You know, you living out in the sub, how the hell would you know? You live in a multi-million dollar apartment in New York City. Or you live in a multi-million dollar house in the suburbs of Virginia, of Washington, D.C., or Atlanta. You have no clue. Well, I came from a hard scrabble life. I know what it's. You know how easy it is to forget where you came from when you get to that. Look, it's easy. You can't even get into your apartment building because there's a doorman there. By the way, has anybody heard about some New York City buildings now? The doorman carry a gun. I heard this story, and I have to look it up to see if it's actually, if it's becoming a normal thing. Evidently in New York, there are some buildings where the doormen are now becoming licensed to carry. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, actually, to tell you the truth. I mean, if they feel they need to be able to do that. But, as far as safety is concerned, I guess it's a good thing. But these people, they put this spin. They don't, first of all, they don't tell you the real stories out there, but then they take a fake story and they spin it all, nine different ways a Sunday. And then when it's proven to be fake, like CNN often has been proven, they still double down on it. Well, maybe this small part of the story was off, but we still got the rest of it right. No, you didn't get any of it right. So you have the media that is putting a spin on Trump's success, on his record, simply because if they actually tell you the truth about his record, do you understand? I mean, folks, understand this. If the lamestream media actually did its job, and I'm not saying being a cheerleader, but just did its job just to tell the facts and spent time only on the facts, do you realize that the president's popularity numbers would probably be around 70% at least? It's hard not to notice the wonderful job that he's done. I don't care. You know, if Obama did the same thing, yeah, it would have been shocking. I would have given him the credit. But he didn't. But I still give him the credit for nearly destroying our economy and country. He was very successful at that. And by the way, not trying to put a spin on it, but any way you look at it, no matter what kind of spin you put on it, Obama was very successful at implementing his agenda. He was probably, up until Trump, the most successful president in our nation's history at implementing his agenda. As bad as that agenda was, and as bad as any president's agenda can be, good or bad, Obama was probably the most successful up until that time period of having his agenda implemented. Unfortunately, it happened to be a very bad one. But he was successful. Make no mistake about it. Barack Hussein Obama, the 44th president of these United States of America, was extremely successful.
Warning. Listening to the Rod Eccles Show by the idiot left may cause outrage, fear, a need for safety pins and or spaces. If you experience any of these symptoms or are allergic to truth, tune in and learn something, Snowflake.
We've all heard of male enhancement, but now there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide. Plus, what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2=Perfection by Samuel Rosette Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past, and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosetteJr.com.
This holiday season, help Soldiers for Stockings improve the morale and welfare of members of our armed forces deployed overseas. Now through November 20th, there is so much work to be done, and you can help in many ways. Download the stocking pattern from stockingsforsoldiers.org and start sewing today. Volunteer to help decorate and assemble stockings. Donate Christmas candies, snacks, nuts, chips, drink mixes, DVDs, books, magazines, lip balm, toiletries, and other items needed to fill the stockings. Or help make packets of snowman soup, hot chocolate, to send along with the stockings. For more information, patterns, and a list of items needed, visit stockingsforsoldiers.org. This holiday season, help send our troops a touch of home. For many, it's all they will receive. All stockings need to be completed by November 20th. So get started today at stockingsforsoldiers.org. That's stockingsforsoldiers.org. Stockings for Soldiers, sending stockings filled with joy to our soldiers in harm's way for the 9th consecutive year.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-471-9742. That's 800-471-9742. Again, 800-471-9742.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 7ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.7ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 7ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
Well, Welcome back, and now we've come to that point in the program where I bring to you today's holidays. Yes, the holidays for today is September number 10 are thus. There's a few of them today, actually. There's a few holidays today. It is International Makeup Day. Yes, you know, the stuff that women put on their face, but now a growing number of men are as well on a daily basis. I guess we're going back to France. You know, the Renaissance Frenchmen and English putting on makeup. But it is International Makeup Day. It's also Blame It on the Large Hadron Collider Day. How do you observe it? You observe the day by spending the day blaming the Large Hadron Collider whenever something goes wrong, particularly if you can't find one of your items. It's likely your item was stolen by the Large Hadron Collider and it's now inside of it, or in a black hole that it created, or something like that. You know, so that's you know, people have always lost it. Have you ever lost something? You misplaced it, and you looked everywhere for it, and then you end up finding it, and you could swear you looked there at least twice before, and it wasn't there. But there, all of a sudden, there it is. Yeah, blame that on the Large Hadron Collider. It's also I'm on top of it day. You're out there, you're grooving, and you're moving, and you're shaking, and you got everything in order, and you're on top of every single task that you ever set for yourself on that day. That's the feeling that you're supposed to have today. This is observed on the second Monday in September, so that would be today. So if you're feeling on top of the world, it's because you're on top of it today, and you can celebrate. It's also International Creepy Boston Dynamics Robotic Horse Day. Have you seen this thing? Yeah, it is kind of. The dogs too, the robotic dogs and so. Yeah, it's all kind of creepy. But there's actually a holiday of it today, International Creepy Boston Dynamics Robotic Horse Day. It is also So Be It Day, SEW, as in sew a button on your shirt type of day. Yes, trying to keep alive the time-honored tradition of home sewing. It is quickly becoming a lost art, by the way, of people knowing how to sew. I know how to use a needle and thread. I'm actually pretty good at it. I can't use a sewing machine, but I can use a needle and thread. I'm pretty darn good at it. Speaking of darning, that's what you do to socks. You don't sew socks, you darn socks. But it is So Be It Day. And it's the reason why it's called darning socks is because every time you want to patch a hole in the socks, you keep saying darn socks get holes in them all the time. Darn. Well, it was better than saying damn sock day, right? Or, you know, you're damning socks, you're darning socks. It's also National Swap Ideas Day. Just swap an idea with somebody. I don't know. Hey, like I just did earlier today. Asking for somebody who's a computer whiz who can come up with an algorithm so we can create a cryptocurrency for ourselves. We can make a mint. It's also National Boss Employee Exchange Day. It's also observed on the second Monday of every September, just like on top of it day. Now you can sell. Well, I don't think anybody's going to actually. A boss is actually going to switch with employee and have the employee a boss for a day, but that's one way to celebrate. I'm sure you can think of probably half a dozen other ways that bosses and employees can exchange themselves today, their roles or what have you. Yeah, bring it up to your boss. See if they know anything about it. It's also National Hot Dog Day. Well, if you're self-employed, then I guess you just can only talk to yourself. So, I mean, there are a lot of self-employed people. But it's National Hot Dog Day. And, by the way, did you know that a hot dog is actually technically a sausage? Well, it is. None of us ever actually think of it as being a sausage, but it is. And hot dogs are usually in the grocery store, in the same case as sausages. And when you go to the deli, they're usually located along with other deli sausages. That's what a hot dog is. It's a mini sausage, basically. It's also TV dinner day. Yes, that wonderful... Now, TV dinners have come a long way, by the way. From those little tinfoil trays that they used to... And they used to be terrible. Oh, they actually... They really were. They were terrible things. I mean, they tasted like rubber, and it was just... The only good thing, not even the desserts, because it came with the baked, it was awful. I remember those early TV. They were all, the only thing that tended to be halfway decent in old TV dinners was the mashed potatoes. But the mashed potatoes would always get like dry and crusty on top, and you had to use a lot of butter and mix it all back in. TV, they've come a long way since those days. You can even microwave a TV dinner now, but I don't recommend it because it tastes just like the old TV dinners when you microwave that stuff. You got to use an oven. It's also, on a serious note, it is World Suicide Prevention Day. Pretty self-explanatory. And I always tell people, if you are so down, if you are so depressed, just think of this one thing. No matter what you're going through right now, no matter what problem or problems you think you may have, those problems are temporary. Suicide is a permanent solution to temporary problems. And oftentimes, suicide does not fix those problems because it leaves those that you say that you love behind to pick up the pieces and to fix the problems that maybe that you thought you couldn't handle yourself. It's a very selfish way to live or not live is suicide. It is not an answer. It is not an answer to anything. Besides, you don't know what the hell's going to happen to you on the other side anyway. There are a lot of religions that tell you it's nothing good. But even though we're not exactly sure, it definitely could be a hell of a lot worse on the other side if you take yourself out. So suicide is definitely not the answer. So it's World Suicide Prevention Day. And it's not a joking matter. I mean, I know sometimes we say, well, we wish this person or that person would off themselves. It's really not a joking matter. It's a sad, sad part of life. And always, always, even if you think nobody loves you, let me tell you, somebody does. And you taking yourself out is going to devastate those people that love you. Now, if you say you care about them, why would you do that to them? Get some help. Honestly. And finally today, it is the start of Rosh Hashanah. Also known as the Day of Blowing the Shofar, and also known as Day of Judgment and Day of Remembrance, and also known as the Jewish New Year. It's observed on the first of Tishri in the Hebrew calendar. Now, of course, there are probably some people who are anti-Semitic, anti-Zionist, who are probably now going to blast me over on Gab for bringing this Jewish holiday to you. But in any case, it is the start of Rosh Hashanah. So those are your holidays for today, September number 10. So now go out and celebrate responsibly. Wait, hold on. No, just double checking. No alcohol today is being observed or celebrated today. That's a rare one. So in any case, don't eat too many hot dogs. Speaking of, I'm not even going to bring up the topic of what happened over in Gab. I mean, just yesterday, that was just stupid. And this person, I don't even follow this person. And yet they keep gabbing to me. I'm like, why are you gabbing? Well, you know, for those of you who don't know, gab is a tweet, but it's ungab, so it's called a gab. Twitter is called a tweet. And of course, Facebook is just a post. But they keep gabbing to me about all kinds. You know, brevity is the soul of wit. Unless you're a talk show host, brevity is the soul of wit. You ask one question or make one statement, and if somebody comes back and gives literally 10 posts to your single post, that's boring, folks. And I often say, if you've got to do that, if you have to do that, and most of the 10 posts that you have takes up nearly the 300 character limit, then that means you have a very weak argument. I mean, brevity is the soul of wit. I mean, honestly, is it really going to take 3,000 words in order to try to refute or rebut a 7-word sentence? And obviously, this person thought it was necessary. And every time I responded, they had to respond in kind with multiple gabs. It was exhausting. But that's all I'm going to say about him or her. I don't know if it's a male or female, but in any case. Trump administration is said that they're going to close the Palestine Liberation Organization office, the PLO office in Washington. In the swamp, Trump is going to close the PLO office. National Security Advisor John Bolton also plans to threaten sanctions against the International Criminal Court. Whoa. Now, this is from the Wall Street Journal. Yes, the Trump administration is expected to announce later today that it will close the PLO, Palestine Liberation Organization's office in Washington, administration officials said last night, widening a U.S. campaign of pressure amid stalled Middle East peace efforts. The United States will always stand with our friends and ally Israel, National Security Advisor John Bolton planned to say in a speech he is scheduled to deliver later today, according to a draft of his prepared remarks reviewed by the Wall Street Journal. The Trump administration will not keep the office open when the Palestinians refuse to take steps to start direct and meaningful negotiations with Israel. Senior Palestine officials strongly condemned the Trump administration's decision and described it as reckless escalation. Oh, so now we're going to take, the Trump administration is going to take the PLO to task. I mean, something that most presidents have not done in the past. This one is going to, because he's tired of their bullshit. And look, either you're serious, you keep saying you want peace. Either you're serious about it and you sit down and you really talk about it, or you're not, and we're just going to call you what you are, nothing more than a terrorist organization. In which case, you don't get to have an office in Washington, D.C. While you're at it, Mr. President, can we also get rid of CAIR, C-A-I-R? Yeah, let's just get rid of them, too. Close all their U.S. offices. When you start taking these people to task, then all of a sudden they start to come around. Well, maybe we can talk after all. Well, you start taking away their ability to do certain things, you take away their money, then all of a sudden they want to talk to you. You know, I mean, this is negotiating 101, folks. That's all it is. It's negotiating 101. It's nothing. Nothing very magical about it. So senior Palestinian officials are strongly condemn the Trump administration. First of all, condemn all you want. This is our country, not yours. Second of all, we wouldn't take this action if you were sincere about negotiating peaceful terms with Israel. This wouldn't have to happen. It's no more complicated than that. Now, Hussam Zamlat, the Palestinian representative to Washington, said in an interview that the State Department informed the Palestinian Liberation Organization of the U.S. decision to shutter its Washington office in a move that said is part of the Trump administration's effort to begin enacting its so-called deal of the century. We don't think this is just about bullying. We believe that this is about the implementing of Israel's grocery list. So now, basic negotiating tactics are bullying. Trust me. Folks, these people don't think that this is any form of bullying. But this is what the left here understand. You use that term and they fully understand what you're saying. Trump's a big bully. No, he's not. I think people are getting tired of certain small factions like the PLO bullying other countries like Israel. You know, unless you do what we say, we send more rockets. And you know, we will shut you down. No, you cannot shut us down. We'll send rockets. So those are the bullies, actually, if you want to use that terminology. Folks, this is not really... All you got to do is open up your eyes. All you got to do is pay attention, do a little bit of reading, research on your own, and get some real news and information. And it's not hard to see what the hell really is going on. Anywhere. On just about any subject. If you get away from the lamestream media, it's not hard to discern what the truth really is. The truth really is that the PLO is not a political organization. It's a terrorist organization. They're not interested in having peace with Israel because, look, there have been a couple of times when, you know, even Bill Clinton gave Yasser Arafat everything he demanded, and yet Yasser Arafat turned it down. Said, hey, we, you know, Israel is about ready to give you everything you want. Can we have a deal? Nope. So this isn't about negotiating at all. So what Clinton should have done was close the PLO office in Washington at that particular point when Arafat turned down the best deal of the century. So this is what Trump's doing. If you guys are serious, we'll leave it open. But you're not serious, so no need to have it. You go away. That's what you got to do to these people. And of course, this will be another one of those things that the left says, well, see, this is, means that Trump is unfit for office. He doesn't know what the hell he's doing, man. By the way, if you think that the Democrats, because they're not talking about it now so much, hardly ever. If you think that they're not talking about it and still thinking and planning and have it, if you think they don't have the articles of impeachment in their desk somewhere, you got another thing coming. Washington Free Beacon, Chuck Schumer. Just last week, commented on impeaching Trump. Chuck Schumer replied, the sooner, the better. The better for whom? The establishment? Sure. The American people? No. Absolutely not better for us. Better for them, but not us. You know, let's put into perspective here. These are elected officials. They work for us. They're not special people. For the most part, when a person leaves office, they're done. You're a senator for as long as you are a senator. Once you're no longer a senator, I'm not going to call you senator. It's just showing respect. No bullshit is showing respect. You know what it's showing? It's showing that they're better than you. You know, you're the... I don't even like calling, you know, Obama President Obama because he's not president anymore. When I say President Obama, I'm referring to the time when he was actually in office. Same for, you know, for any other president. They're not president anymore, so I don't think they deserve the title. I'm not going to say Mr. President when you're not president. And right now, I mean, that goes for all of them. It's not Mr. President to Clinton. It's not Mr. President to George W. Bush. It's not Mr. President to Obama, because the president is Trump. And these people like to run around with these. They, even if it's just, I was governor for a month, so I'm still called governor. No, you're not. They made this stuff up. I don't even remember when this started. I don't know, but they made this stuff up to make themselves more special than the rest of us. So I'm not going to, you know, right now it's Senator Chuck Schumer, but as soon as he stops being senator, it's just back to being Chucky. And because that's who this whole impeaching Trump would be better for. It'd be better for the swamp, both currently in office and those who are now out of office. Hey, it's unbelievable what we, the American people, have been willing to put up with. And I think we're getting to the point where we're not going to put up with it anymore. But Senator Chuck Schumer told a Brooklyn crowd Monday he still wanted to impeach President Trump. And the sooner the better. So if you think that if they're taking it off the table, no, they know it's not going to resonate with the vast majority of American people. So they're taking it off the table. And notice how I don't know how they did it, but I haven't really heard anything from Maxine Waters in the past 2 weeks. How the hell did they get that mouth to shut up? Flanked by security and staff holding signs saying, "Meet Senator Chuck Schumer." Schumer stopped to speak with via megaphone with several people off camera. In a video of the interaction, which was released earlier this morning, Schumer was asked about impeachment and expressed support for the idea. Man off camera asked, "When y'all going to impeach Trump?" Chuck Schumer responds, "The sooner the better." Man off camera says, "Sooner the better? That's not answering the question." Schumer responds, "Gotta get a few Republicans unelected." So you got some people there that are just, they're upset that they can't get now. And then a woman interjects off camera again, "We're trying, we're voting now." And then Schumer responds, "We're Democrats, we're on your side." How about this, really, the side of the American people that voted for Trump? That's you're not on their side. It's not the side you're on. What a crock, man. The only side that these people are on are their own side. We need to remember that and fully understand it. Even if you are a leftist, they're not on your side. If you're not part of the cabal, they're not on your side. Not at all. They're on their own side because they think that they're special. Well, unfortunately, I'm not so special where I can hold time because we're out of it for now, but we will be back here tomorrow for Tuesday's edition of the program, so don't forget it, and be here for that. And don't forget Wednesday's conclusion of the report with Agent 0010 and Source D. So have a great Monday afternoon, everybody. We'll be back here tomorrow. Until then, thanks for tuning in. I'm Rod Eccles. I'm out.